bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Liner, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Liner. Today we come to the second part of our study, Features of True Discipleship, based on John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. We join this message already in progress. Again, Jesus has very clearly said that unless you embrace who I am, unless you believe, that you are going to die in your sins. And then we have the statement of their belief, and then he addresses them. But the sad thing is that as this conversation continues, it becomes quite evident that their profession was not true. It was not authentic. The idea of believed means to come to truth. It means to embrace, to entrust, or to have confidence in. Now, the thing about this term that stands out for me has to do with its grammatical structure, and that is, it is given in the perfect tense, which simply means it describes an action or a process that took place in the past, but the results continue to the present. In other words, if they came to faith in Jesus Christ, true saving faith, if they truly believe that act in the past, that act is going to have continuous results even as we speak now. In other words, if they believe then, they are going to believe now. If you are a believer, you can't not believe. You can't stop believing. And if you can stop believing, you never truly believed. You never had true saving faith to begin with. Now, with that, we come to our first major point. True discipleship is conditioned on continuance in God's Word. Notice the first statement that is made in this passage in verse 31. He says, if ye continue in my word. I want you to notice that one small word, if. Now, this introduces what is called a conditional clause. And this is a statement which may or may not be true depending upon the fulfillment of certain specified conditions. Now, in other words, the condition here of being a disciple is conditioned upon continuing in the Word of God. Now, I want you to notice the term continue. The term continue means to remain, to dwell, or to abide. In other words, it gives us the impression that this term speaks of being involved in something for the long haul, not for the shortcuts. So when you come to this thing of continuing, it means that you are camping out here. You are establishing something for the long term. You're going to begin to grow roots. You're not going to leave. You have no plans of making this just simply a three-day visit. This is something that's going to be a lifelong thing, referencing Jesus Christ. So again, if you continue in my word. Now, it's my understanding that for us today, my word, referencing the words of Christ, is fulfilled for us in the totality of Scripture. Jesus is no longer in our midst physically. And so whatever he taught that God has for us has been reserved for us in Scripture. And so whatever Jesus is speaking to us today for us to continue in is found in the entirety of the revelation of Scripture. Now, the point that we want to ask here is that why is this the case? Why is it that our discipleship is dependent upon our continuance in His Word? Well, very simply, a failure to continue in the Word of God means that we have either left or exchanged the authority and the truthfulness of God's Word for something else. And so if we abandon the Word of God, the words of Jesus Christ as the basis of our life, then by implication, by default, we cannot be a disciple of Christ. Because what we're saying is that we're no longer learning of this. We're no longer basing this as the substance of our life. But what we're doing is we're getting our information, our cues from something else. And the reality is that this is true for a lot of us that claim to know Jesus Christ. The way that we live, the way that we respond, quite often we can't say that this is reflective of the teachings of Scripture. You ever hear your children say something they ought not to say? What's one of the first things out of your mouth? Where did you hear that? Where did you get that from? We haven't taught you that. And that means for a brief moment, they have thrown away what you've been trying to teach them, and they've opted out for another influence. And that happens to us as Christians all the time. Whenever we disobey, and I don't say this lightly because of my own life, but whenever we disobey, what we're saying is that we are taking our points no longer from the teachings of Scripture, but from somewhere else. A true disciple, an authentic disciple, is one who continues in the Word of God. They continue in the form of obedience. They continue in the form of learning and taking those things and putting that as the basis of how they live, of what comes out of their mouth, of how they respond to the challenges of life. Now, as I say that, I'm not implying that means perfection. But rather it means that the general tenor of our life, how we try to live, reflects this basic point. So first of all, true discipleship is conditioned upon continuance in God's Word. Now, the second thing is that true discipleship is evidenced by knowing the truth of God's Word. Notice what he says next. Jesus says, "Ye shall know the truth." Now, I want to point out here that knowing the truth is dependent on continuance in God's Word. You cannot know the truth if you are not continuing in the Word of God. Now, the term "know" here signifies the taking in of knowledge. To come to understand, to know, or to recognize. One resource indicates that it speaks of a relationship between the person knowing and that which is known. And so the idea is that what is known becomes valuable. It becomes vital to the person who knows, and this, in essence, is what qualifies it as a relationship. One writer suggests that it speaks of knowledge in progress. The thing is that for us as believers, we are to know, we are to have a passion, a drive, a determination to want to know what God has said. Whenever we come to a point in our life where we don't care to know what God has said, when we don't even really care what He has said, we're not interested in listening to Him, something is dreadfully wrong in our life. We should have a desire to know the truth. The idea of "know" also encompasses what we sometimes refer to as experiential knowledge. In other words, it's not just simply facts. It's not just simply assimilating a mass amount of knowledge. But rather, it is taking that knowledge and living out that knowledge so that we know it by experience. And so what Jesus seems to be saying is twofold, is that as we continue in His Word, we will also know the truth. We will know it not simply intellectually. Now that much is true and that much is vital, but it seems like He's going a step further by saying that we will know the truth by living the truth. I remember when I was not even licensed, but just having the desires, thinking about preaching, and I would go to Brother Gerald Proctor, my father in the ministry, and I would stay at his house sometimes 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, and there would be times when he would be talking to me, and you could almost sense the passion of what he was saying, and sometimes he would stop in mid-sentence by saying, "Well, you don't understand that now, but you will." And by that, what he was saying is that I'm telling you things that, and you can understand intellectually, you can understand the concepts, but you really won't know until you actually have gone through it. And I found that to be the case. The thing about knowledge is that knowledge is intended to be given to us to use. When we were at a certain church, there was a member of that church whose brother was one of our ministers, and the spouse of this particular minister, of the sister to the minister, made an observation about this particular man that he knew the most useless information of anyone that he could think of. It was almost like he was, learning these things to maybe be a contestant on Jeopardy or something. You know, there are people like that. They know all types of trivia questions. And maybe that's wonderful. I don't know. But a lot of it is just useless knowledge. Jesus Christ gives to us knowledge that is transformational. Knowledge that is vital. Knowledge that will make our lives no longer what it is or what it has been. But if you're like me, we tend to be slow on that route of really embracing the truth. If you are a true disciple of Jesus Christ, that is going to be evidence. It's going to come out by the fact that you know the truth. Again, not just simply intellectually, but you can say, "I know the truth because the Lord taught me that. And I obeyed, I did that, and I discovered that the Lord was right. I may have had my fears, I may have had my doubts, I mean, I have. But if we can persevere, we will demonstrate that the Lord was right, and that we are true followers because we believed Him enough to see it through." So number two, true discipleship is evidenced by knowing the truth of God's Word. Finally, true discipleship is demonstrated by living in the freedom of God's Word. Notice in your scriptures what comes next. Jesus says, "And the truth shall make you free." I want you to notice, as we said with the other major point, that this is dependent on knowing the truth. There is no freedom if we don't know the truth. Fundamentally, and this is something that I want you to tattoo this to your brain, and that is truth brings freedom. Think about that for just a moment. Truth brings freedom. The idea of truth here is the reality that lies behind what we see or what is observable. It is not the mere appearance. Some of you have probably, maybe you even had this experience, but if you watch television or movies, somewhere along the line you've seen a scene where someone was in the desert And they look out and they see what is called a what? A mirage. They see something that looks so real. But behind what they see, there is no reality. When it comes to truth, the truth of God's Word, what we see is the fact that there is a reality behind that. Now, the problem is that quite often we are blind to the truth, to the reality. I mean, for example, this is exactly what happened in this particular scenario. Jesus Christ was communicating the truth about Himself. And yet, over and over and over again, these individuals could not see the truth of Jesus Christ because of the blindness and the hatred that covered their vision. They were spiritually dead. They were spiritually blind. Jesus was right in front of them, and yet they could not detect that He was the Son of God, Messiah, who had come to deliver them from their sins. I mean, we think about blindness, and that's a horrible thing. But to be so blind as to have Jesus right in front of your face and not even know who He is. When it comes to truth, truth brings freedom. Sin, on the other hand, is first of all deceptive, and sin is also enslaving. Now, I want that to permeate your thinking just for a moment. Truth brings freedom. Sin is deceptive and it is enslaving. In fact, if you notice verse 34, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Some translations say they are a slave to sin. When it comes to sin, sin is enslaving. There are people right now who claim to be believers. And I'm one of them. The fact that we are still enslaved to such things as bitterness, as having an unforgiving heart, of having unrighteous anger, of being fearful, of being afraid to obey the Lord, of not believing truth that is found in His Word, and the list can go on and on and on. These things are enslaving to people who call themselves Christians. But one of the fundamental facts of Christianity is that Jesus Christ came, and in His coming He came to set the captives free. When He comes to us in salvation, He breaks the chains that bind us, not only to the guilt of sin, but to the power of sin. There is real freedom in Jesus Christ. But I'm convinced that there's probably no one here tonight that lives in the absolute freedom that we could or should have. There's all kinds of things that weigh us down. I know in my life there is, and sometimes it seems like I can't get out of it. But those things, they bind us, they restrict us. We can only go so far because we are bound by the principles of these enslaving sins. But yet Jesus says that the truth shall make us free. Many years ago, well, not that long ago, there was sort of a statement that went around, you know, these phrases that get popular in our culture and suddenly everybody is saying them. Some time back, the popular statement was, "You can't handle the truth." You remember hearing that? People talk about, no, tell me the truth. I really want to know. And everybody was saying, "You can't handle the truth." You ever heard the phrase, "Ignorance is bliss"? Perhaps sometimes. But sometimes it can be extremely dangerous. I know there's been times in my life where, no, I don't think I really want to hear the truth. Because I don't want to have to deal with it. I just soon not hear it. But when it comes to spiritual things, truth is liberating. It brings freedom. But also that truth sometimes comes at a price. And sometimes that's having to deal with sin in our own life. Sometimes it's having to get one-on-one with the Lord and say, Lord, we've got some business to take care of. It's not something that I'm looking forward to. I mean, I'm a, by nature, procrastinator. You know, my philosophy is never do anything today that you can put off until, you know, next year. Sometimes that's okay, but sometimes it has a way of coming back and biting you severely. I've had some major problems as a result of that. The truth brings freedom. Notice also, the truth shall make you free. I want you to work backwards with me just for a moment. Truth makes you free, but you cannot have freedom if you don't know the truth. And you cannot know the truth if you don't continue in the truth. Jesus presents to us, I think, three of the most significant, perhaps most fundamental features of what discipleship is all about. And again, noticing the context, those that made a profession, Jesus' words were pretty straightforward, probably very harsh. That unless you embrace who I am, you're going to die in your sins. Oh, well, I believe. Jesus, perhaps perceiving that, goes on to say, if you are truly my disciples, truly, then you will continue in my word. You will know my word. And you will experience freedom. How free are you this evening? I wish I could stand before you and say that every chain that binds me has been completely removed. I wish I could say that I have nothing that weighs me down, but that would be lying. I can't. And I would dare to say I'm probably not the only one. And as I say that, I'm not saying that you're not saved. Because a lot of what Jesus is saying here, and there's a certain word, and I can't remember right offhand, but it's in the present tense, which implies the nowness of the situation. It doesn't mean that we don't sin. We do. But the whole direction of what Jesus is saying is that these things should characterize your life. As disciples, we're not perfect. I mean, look at some of the great heroes of the faith that's given to us in Scripture. You know, David, we think about him. We think about Peter denying the Lord. We all have our setbacks. The setback is not so much the issue as it is getting that right with the Lord so that we can continue on and grow in our discipleship with the Lord. If you are a believer, you are a disciple. It's not a question. You know, there are some people who think that you can be saved and not be a disciple. I don't find that in Scripture. If you're saved, if you are a believer, you are a disciple. Perhaps the better question is, what kind of disciple am I? Am I one that can really embrace these things that Jesus is saying here? That I could really say that this is true for my life? If not, then we need to back up and go back and question the legitimacy of our profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Because again, the pinnacle is not the profession. A profession of faith is wonderful. It's great. We all have to and need to make it. But the question is, does that profession of faith lead to a life of faith called discipleship? Setting ourselves apart from this world to think like Christ, to think His thoughts, and to follow them by the way that we live. It sounds rather easy. But let me assure you, it can be extremely difficult to follow the path that Jesus Christ leads. But if you are a believer, He will give you grace to do so. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage of Scripture and these words that we find. These words of encouragement, as well as, I suppose we could say, words of warning. Allow us the insight to think about our profession of faith that we have made. And have we gone that extra step of looking at how that relates to being a follower of you? Bless us, Lord, to have a desire to learn of you and to follow you. Not to think in terms of this world. This world and the things of this world are headed straight for hell. Anything that is not of you stands in rebellion against you. Bless us, Lord, to be able to see and recognize what influences us. The way that we think, the way that we talk, the way that we act. Is this of you? Or is this of the world that hates you? Bless us, Lord. If we make a profession of faith, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our failures, to love you as much as we possibly can, and to strive daily to walk as you walked and talked. In Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. And amen.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's Holy Word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to His Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.